The market doesn't joke around, so why would you? Get serious. Choose Tastytrade. Tastytrade gives you the tools you need to make smarter moves. Dig into data with advanced charting, track profit accurately with order chain trackers, see risk clearly with curve analysis, and trade with low-capped commissions, stocks, options, futures, and more. All on one platform. No wonder serious traders choose Tastytrade. Join the club, genius. Tasty Trading is a registered broker-dealer and member of FINRA and SIPC.
I'm Frank Holland, and you're listening to CNBC's Worldwide Exchange. Our show is live weekdays at 5 a.m. Eastern. Listen in. It is 5 a.m. at CNBC Global Headquarters. It's 10 a.m. here in London. I'm Frank Holland. Here is your 5 at 5. We start with tech and trouble. The Nasdaq looking to snap a three-session win streak as earnings and capex concerns hit the sector in a very big way today. Futures, they are under pressure across the board. Case in point, the MetaMask. The stock sinking in the pre-market and looking to wipe out just about $200 billion in market value at the open. Then there's IBM, Big Blue, hurting the Dow with the stock getting set for what is likely to be its worst day since 2021. Plus, a mega global mining tie-up in the works on the back of surging copper demand. And later, the White House announces another multi-billion dollar award to one semiconductor giant. It's Thursday, April the 25th, 2024, and you are watching Worldwide Exchange right here on CNBC. Good morning. Welcome to Worldwide Exchange. We are coming to you live from CNBC London. Thank you so much for being here with us. Before we get started, we have a quick news alert for you from the White House. The Biden administration announcing a $6.1 billion preliminary funding agreement with Micron under the CHIPS and Science Act. The White House says the deal will be in direct support of the construction of Micron's new facilities in Clay, New York and Boise, Idaho. Micron, for its part, investing more than $125 billion into the projects. President Biden will be in Syracuse, New York today. We'll have much more on this later in the hour. Taking a look at Micron shares, maybe surprisingly right now, down just over a third of 1%. All right, turning back to the trading day ahead and a check on U.S. stock futures. After a bit of a mixed session for stocks, I saw the Dow snap a four-session win streak, while the S&P and the NASDAQ, they finished the day higher. This morning, you can see it right here. All three are in the red. The NASDAQ just under being down 1%. The S&P down about a half a percent. You see right now the Dow looking like it would open over 100 points lower. So, of course, the big story this morning, it's big tech and Meta platforms sinking ahead of the open and on pace to wipe out $200 billion in market value at the open. You see shares are down 13%. Much more on that in a moment. Dragging the Dow lower, however, it's IBM, set for its worst day in more than 2 years after coming up short on its sales in its most recent quarter and announcing a $6.4 billion deal for HashiCorp. We'll have details on that coming up as well. Weakness across the board within the Magnificent Seven ahead of the open as we look at shares of Amazon, NVIDIA, Microsoft, and Alphabet. Taking a look, you can see in the red across the board, Alphabet the hardest hit, at least in the pre-market, down almost 3%, followed by Amazon down almost 2.5%. Again, we'll be talking much more about Meta and the rest of the Magnificent Seven in just a second. We're also looking at the bond market this morning. The 10-year Treasury yield trading just below its highest level since November, and that's ahead of today's first read on first quarter GDP. Taking a look, we're seeing the benchmark at 4.64. We continue to see the 2-year pull back from that 5% yield. It hit a 5% yield very briefly over the last few days, right now at 4.92%. We're also looking at energy, specifically oil, on pace for its first down week in the last four. Take a look at the oil market this morning. We're seeing it just basically fractionally higher right now, almost flat. Right now, WTI, the U.S. benchmark, trading at just about $82.90 a barrel, just a penny or two under that. Brent crude, the international benchmark, trading just below $88.15 a barrel. Again, both of them fractionally higher, but on pace for a three-week losing streak. All right, that's your morning setup. We're going to turn your attention back to your biggest money mover of this morning. Of course, that's Meta Platforms. Strong first quarter results, doing very little to prop up this stock. It is set to shed about $200 billion in value at the open. You see the chart. Shares down just about 13% right now. The investors, they really appear to be focusing on the weak guidance as Meta leaves its year of efficiency behind, and now it shifts its attention back to growth. CEO Mark Zuckerberg telling shareholders just to hang in there when it comes to monetizing riskier bets like artificial intelligence.
We typically don't focus that much on monetization of the new areas until they reach significant scale, because it's so much higher leverage for us just to improve monetization on other things before these new products are at scale. So you enter this period where I think kind of smart investors see that the product is scaling and that there's a clear monetizable opportunity there, even before the revenue materializes.
And joining me right here in London with a deeper dive into the quarter, Sarah Kuntz, Clio Capital Managing Director. Sarah, always great to have you here.
Yeah.
All right. So MetaShare is down almost 13%, you know, 12.5% right now, but we've seen it fall more than 13% in extended trading. Give me your take on this. Is the fact that they're raising CapEx guidance and they have soft CapEx guidance and revenue guidance, is that being overblown or do you think investors are reacting appropriately to all this?
You know, I think a lot of it has to do with that chain. Mark Zuckerberg wore a chain and nothing's been the same. No, you know, I think the reality is that AI is expensive, and it makes sense that investors are a little bit nervous about that, because the reality is last time Zuck went on one of these tangents in the metaverse, it was not good. The difference is that AI, there's a real there. They have the technology, they have the data, which you cannot overstate the importance of. And so I think that this bet is going to pay off, and the people who don't get scared are going to see some upside.
All right. People are still scared when you have EPS doubling year over year. I mean, it's hard to be scared when you see that kind of revenue growth, but I get it. It's on the soft guidance and the increase in spend. You just said, number one, the chain thing. Hilarious. I think the company, it seemed to take off when he started MMA, but you're saying the chains derailed all that. Interesting to know. We'll have to track it. You're saying when he dipped into the metaverse, that's when the trouble started. Isn't he kind of still in the metaverse? I'm looking at Reality Labs numbers. Loss of $3.85 billion.
You know, I think he should give it up. I think there is no there. We're seeing names like Apple with their Vision Pro 2025 headset that is not going to happen. The reality is that the market has not embraced this technology, no matter who's selling it to them. So I would like to see them get more out of the metaverse. But when you look at the overall numbers, it's his weird pet project, and he's not spending nearly as much on it anymore.
All right, so not a big believer in the Meta Ray-Bans. That's not going to work for you. I'm surprised to hear you talk about the Apple Vision Pro, but we have to save that for another time. I want to talk to you about something considerably less sexy than all these other things. The digital ads business actually missed estimates by 6%, by a good margin, higher year over year, but a miss. That's where Meta gets 98% of its revenue. Are people not focusing enough on that?
I think that it is a global problem. I don't think it's a Meta problem. People are buying ads to place against content. The content right now on social media platforms is not necessarily brand friendly, right? You have this massive amount of unrest geopolitically, domestically in the U.S. And so it's not surprising that people are saying, maybe we're not going to advertise next to some of this stuff. And so I don't think that that's a huge indicator of anything right now.
But is it possibly a big indicator of Magnificent Seven performance? I mean, it's a big business for Alphabet. It's a growing business for Microsoft. I mean, ads are not a small thing anymore. It's also a pretty sizable business for Amazon as well.
Absolutely. And Amazon actually could be the winner here, because with their advertising are sort of product listing ads, and that's a little bit more brand safe. You're not advertising against sort of, you know, social content.
All right. A lot to break down when it comes to Magnificent Seven. We got to have you back before I leave London. But Sarah Kuntz, it is always great to see you. Thank you for your time, your insight, and that chain comment. You gave our data team something to work on. Have a great day.
Thank you.
All right, moving on. Let's get a check of some of your other big money movers this morning. We're going to start off with another earnings mover, IBM, on track for its worst day since October 2021 after missing revenue expectations for the third time in the last five quarters. The company also announcing it will acquire cloud software maker HashiCorp for more than $6.5 billion, or $35 per share. Shares of IBM down more than 8%. ServiceNow is also lower as its light forecast overshadows a massive earnings beat. Revenue growing by 24% and the number of transactions over $5 million doubling. CEO Bill McDermott says generative AI offerings are now the fastest selling in company history. And be sure to catch McDermott when he joins Squawk on the Street today at 9 a.m. Eastern. Shares of ServiceNow down almost 5%. Different story when it comes to Chipotle. Shares are popping this morning. The Mexican fast food chain beating earnings, revenue, and same-store sales growth estimates. CEO Brian Niccol highlighting transaction growth on CNBC yesterday.
We're seeing transaction gains in every income cohort, whether it's sub 50,000 to north of 150,000. So we continue to see a lot of strength in our business with every income cohort and every customer that's coming into Chipotle.
Niccol adding, in terms of international expansion, there's an opportunity for Chipotle to go much broader than the U.S. and Canada down the road. Shares of Chipotle up just over 3%. All right, time now for a check on some of this morning's top corporate stories. Silvana Hanau is at CNBC HQ with those Silvana, good morning.
Hey, Frank, good morning to you all. More troubles for Apple in China. New preliminary data from IDC showing Apple has lost its title as the country's biggest smartphone seller in the first quarter, shipments falling 6.6% in the period compared to a year ago. Apple now in third place in terms of market share in China, behind domestic brands Honor and Huawei. Meanwhile, Microsoft-backed data management company Rubrik pricing its IPO at $32 per share, above its expected range. And on the back of that offering, the company now being valued at $5.6 billion. It's set to begin trading at the New York Stock Exchange today under the symbol RBRK. And shares of Anglo American are surging in London as rival BHP makes a nearly $39 billion offer for the company. A deal would create the world's biggest copper miner with about 10% of global output. It would also give BHP more access to potash and coking coal in Australia, Frank.
All right, looking at shares right now of Anglo American, up over 12%.
Yeah.
Silvana, thank you very much.
You got it, Frank.
All right, we got a lot more to come here on Worldwide Exchange, including the one word that investors have to know today. But first, much more on big tech's black eye and why our Jim Cramer says surging bond yields are not helping the situation. Plus, pushing past Meta as investors get set for Alphabet and Microsoft results after the close today, we're going to tee up what you need to be watching for. And then later, much more on President Biden's $6.1 billion bet on Micron. We are live in Washington coming up. We have a very busy hour still ahead when Worldwide Exchange returns. Stay with us.
Have you ever brought your magic to Walt Disney World like, hey, we came to play? Did you tip your tiara to a Creole princess or get goofy officially? Step up like a boss and save the day? Or see what life's like under the tree of life? Did you? If you could, would you? When we come through, it's true magic. 'Cause we came to play. Bring the magic at Walt Disney World Resort.
What does it mean to be rich? Is it having more stories to share or time to give? Is it being able to keep your loved ones close or travel somewhere far away? At Edward Jones, we believe the key to being rich is knowing what counts. Your dedicated financial advisor will take a comprehensive approach to your financial strategy to help support what truly matters to you. EdwardJones.com/findyourrich. Edward Jones, member SIPC.
All right, welcome back to Worldwide Exchange. We are checking U.S. stock futures right now. You can see they are in the red across the board. The NASDAQ just down under 1%. The S&P down just over a half a percent. The Dow looking like it would open more than 100 points lower. We're also looking at the biggest pre-market laggards on the NASDAQ 100 following that Meta report. You see Meta right there at the top of the list, followed by O'Reilly Auto Trade Desk in the number three spot, a digital ad player under some pressure down more than 3%, followed by Alphabet, also another company with a big digital ad business after Meta's miss on digital ads. Let's now see how Europe is shaping up as this trading day gets underway. Sylvia Amaro, live with me right here in our London newsroom. You and I were just talking about a bunch of earnings movers in Europe as well.
Exactly, and it is a very busy day. Just to give you an idea, we have more than 300 companies reporting across the European continent. So I want to give you the highlights. For instance, we heard from Deutsche Bank. They have posted a 10% rise in the first quarter net profit to 1.5 billion euros. The German lender also saw net revenue grow 1% on the year, while investment banking net inflows reached 19 billion euros. In other corporate news this morning, Nestle has missed sales estimates, with first quarter organic sales rising by 1.4% amid soft demand and higher prices. However, the Swiss consumer giant still backed its full-year outlook for sales to rise by around 4%. And you can see the shares on your screen at this stage. When it comes to the pharma space, we also heard from AstraZeneca. They topped first-quarter earnings and sales forecasts as the pharma giant was boosted by demand for its rare blood disorder and oncology drugs. The Anglo-Swedish company confirmed its full-year guidance as well as total revenue hit $12.7 billion. And in the luxury space, Hermès reported a better-than-expected 17% jump in the first quarter revenue despite a slightly softer traffic in China. Deutsche Bank's that is it in terms of highlights for the corporate reporting so far this morning, Frank. But you can see, just to give you an idea in terms of Hermès shares, you have them on the screen at this stage. It is season. A very busy day, but basically this is just the start of the thick of the earnings season here in Europe.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, also had two big bank earnings. I mean, you were hitting on so many things going on. It was a very busy day in Europe. Sylvia, thank you so much. We'll see you tomorrow. All right, we're going to turn our attention back to the U.S. and Wall Street. Our own Jim Cramer weighing into the recent stock market turmoil, suggesting it may be time to raise some cash as investors look to other sectors of the market outside of stocks.
The bond market now has gotten so compelling to so many people because it's been going down that they want to buy some of these bonds, which means they often need to sell stock in order to swap out of equities and into the bond market. They have to raise cash to buy bonds. Makes sense, right? You need a lot of buyers to come in and buy these bonds because so much is being for sale. And for many, that means to cash your stocks in order to be able to buy the bonds.
And joining me now is Chantico Global CEO and CNBC contributor Gina Sanchez. Gina, good morning from London. It's good to see you. I want to get your take on what Jim Cramer had to say, that the bond market is creating a lot of competition for the equity market right now.
Yeah, and I do think it is a real issue that you cannot ignore, particularly when you still have segments of the stock market, vast segments of the stock market, whose price-to-earnings ratio haven't exactly priced in the fact that expectations for Fed rate cuts have gone from 6 to 4 to 2. That's a big difference. And so that suggests that, you know, dividend yields are going to continue to have some serious competition. And so looking across the stock market, there are definitely some stocks that are vulnerable.
So you say there are some stocks that are vulnerable, and you mentioned the cuts going from 6 to 4 to 2. No one else seems to be reducing the Magnificent 7, maybe down to 6, despite Tesla's recent earnings pop. In your mind, you believe the Magnificent 7 can survive this short-term choppiness, but if you look back to April 16th, it feels like it was forever ago, but if you look back to April 16th, when Jay Powell said that rates are going to stay high as long as they need to be, the Magnificent 7's actually underperformed the market by quite a bit. If these stocks are supposedly not as sensitive to interest rates, why are they declining even more than the general market during this time?
No, I actually think that they are sensitive to interest rates. These are some of the highest valued stocks in the stock market generally. However, you also get some of the best growth. So the big challenge is where you have high valuation and not necessarily a great growth profile. So you look at Apple, for example. Apple used to trade at somewhere around 10 times earnings, now trading at 24 times earnings. It's really hard to get excited about Apple at this valuation at this moment in time, because if you compare it, for example, to NVIDIA, that is trading at roughly the same price to earnings for much, much better growth, why would you take Apple? So now the competition within the Mag 7 is going to get really fierce. You already see Tesla almost dropping out. I feel like it's the Mag 6 now. But, you know, you see Tesla really, really struggling to sort of right. maintain its mantle, because now you have margins meeting lower priced competition and an abandonment, effectively, of the low priced Tesla. So that really, really creates a challenge for a really high P.E. stock.
You know what else is struggling? All of us with the idea of what the Fed's going to do next. So we have two what I think are going to be important reports. We have GDP coming up later today, expected to show a slowdown quarter over quarter. Then we have PCE coming up tomorrow, expected to show a slight decrease if you look at core PCE. In your mind, are these market movers, even though I just mentioned what Jay Powell said back on April 16th, are these two reports possible market movers like previous ones have? Like, how are you viewing these two things?
You know, it is, Jay Powell has pretty much preempted what is coming, and he's effectively set the stage for higher for longer. And the Fed funds futures have adjusted. What has not yet adjusted is the broad multiple across the stock market. And that is why you're seeing, you know, quite a bit of blood in the streets at the moment.
Gina Sanchez, we got to leave the conversation there. Colorful language, though, the blood in the streets. A lot of people looking at this sell-off and scratching their head. Gina Sanchez, thanks for bringing a lot of clarity to the situation. All right, for much more on what's driving the markets and the trading day ahead, head over to CNBC Pro at cnbc.com/pro for exclusive insights and analysis. All right, coming up here in Worldwide Exchange, throw out those $50,000, $60,000, and $70,000 EV price tags, because at the Beijing Auto Show, it's all about mass appeal, and that is where we find our Eunice Yoon.
Thanks, Frank. Well, Elon Musk raised the hopes of Tesla investors earlier this week when he said that he would revisit the idea of an affordable EV. Well, he is not the only one. More in just a few minutes.
From a flat tire in the city to a dead battery on a distant drive, AAA is partnering with T-Mobile for Business to accelerate response times and get more drivers back on the road fast. Our nationwide connectivity powers location telematics, so AAA's fleet can find stranded drivers quickly while being fully equipped with the in-vehicle tools to have answers when they get there. This is elevating the member experience. This is AAA with T-Mobile for Business. Take your business further at T-Mobile.com/now.
All right, welcome back to Worldwide Exchange. While some major U.S. automakers are backtracking on plans to go all in on EVs, companies in China, they're doing just the opposite in what's become a race to the bottom to dominate ultra-crowded and an increasingly competitive market. Our Eunice Yoon joins me now live from the Beijing Auto Show. Looking like you're having a good time out there, Eunice.
I am, Frank. Tesla is not at this show, but like Elon Musk, his Chinese rivals are stressing the importance of affordable EVs. Earlier, I spoke with NIO's founder, who said that his company is going to roll out a mass market EV, codenamed Alps. The SUV will target more budget-conscious families, he says. He said that the car is going to be launched in the third quarter, delivered in the fourth quarter, and hinted that it would be priced at around $30,000, cheaper than a Model Y. Now, his hometown rival, XPeng, is also going down market. I spoke to the vice chair, and he said that a 20,000 global EV is on the horizon. It's going to be called Mona and launched as early as June. BYD, known for its $9,000 Seagull, also launched some affordable models, a $16,000 car and a $12,000 Seal 6. The rollout, though, of so many models has only been highlighting, though, an issue that had been flagged by U.S. Treasury Secretary Janet Yellen, who came here earlier this month when she criticized China for what she described as overcapacity in several Chinese industries, including the car industry. At this auto show alone, there are 278 EVs and hybrids on display. Global Data Automotive had told me that there are 139 EV brands in China alone, and Automobilia, another research firm, estimates, Frank, that excess capacity is as much as 25 million units.
Wow, that's a lot of excess capacity there. I think that's what people were talking about, both Janet Yellen and the German chancellor, when they went to go visit. So I want to ask you, you're getting to be there on the ground, Eunice. What models got the most buzz? And also, what are you hearing about that Apple rival, Xiaomi?
Well, the answer is actually one and the same, because Xiaomi had launched an EV called the SU7. It's about $27,000. And like Apple, the idea behind it is to kind of get all of the Xiaomi people who are the Xiaomi smartphone makers, or smartphone users, I should say, into the EVs and have this seamless technology experience. Well, the company's founder said today that so far they have 76,000 orders for their 100,000 target for the year. And he kind of was trolling Apple a bit, saying that 52% of the buyers so far are iPhone users, so suggesting that people might want to make a switch.
You know, Eunice, I'm noticing two things. They really like smooth jazz there at the Beijing Auto Show. They're really blasting it right now. Also, you're there. There's things for sale. Remember when you went to Disneyland, you got me that T-shirt? Is there any chance to get an affordable EV? I'm just asking. Don't even answer. Eunice Yoon, live at the Beijing. Is there a way to get me one?
The music, though, is because they're trying to get us out of here. That's their nice way of saying get out of here. Because here it's, you know,
they're playing you off. That's what we do too. That's interesting. Eunice Yoon live at the Beijing Auto Show. Enjoy yourself. Looks like you're having a good time. All right, as we head to break, we're watching shares of Tesla. They're under pressure after capping off its best day since January of 2022, and a more than 14% gain yesterday. Taking a look, up a quarter of a percent right now. We'll be right back after this break. All right, welcome back to Worldwide Exchange. I'm Frank Holland, coming to you from CNBC London. Let's get you ready for the trading day ahead. We pick up the half an hour, as always, with a check of U.S. stock futures. As I mentioned, all three indices, they are in the red right now. Looks like the Dow would open just over 120 points lower. Of course, the big story this morning is tech and Meta platforms sinking ahead of the open and on pace to wipe out $200 billion in market value at the open. You can see shares are down more than 12.5%. This comes after first quarter results topped estimates, but those numbers, they're being overshadowed by weak revenue guidance and updates on investments around AI and the metaverse. Meta, the biggest laggard on the S&P 500 ahead of the open. Taking a look at some of the other laggards right now, we're seeing IBM, another earnings mover in second place right now, down more than 8%, followed by Zebra Technologies and ServiceNow, down almost 5%, another earnings mover that we're tracking. We're also looking at the bond market this morning, the 10-year Treasury yield trading just below its highest level since November, ahead of today's first read on first quarter GDP. Taking a look at the benchmark at 4.64. Important to note, we've seen the 2-year note actually pull back from that 5% yield. It's hit very briefly in recent days, right now at 4.92%. Okay, that's your morning setup. Now we want to turn back to some of the big movers. We've heard from Meta and Tesla this week, and of course, two more members of the Magnificent Seven. They're reporting their results today. We're talking Microsoft and Alphabet. So Microsoft's up about 7% this year and more than 40% higher over the past year on enthusiasm over its push into generative AI with investments in OpenAI and the rollout of AI features for Windows Copilot. Alphabet's earnings are also expected to get a boost from artificial intelligence as well as the cloud and a rebound in ad spending. But the company is facing several regulatory issues in the U.S. and in Europe. Joining me now is Nimrit Kang, CIO and Senior Portfolio Manager at Northstar Asset Management, which owns shares of both companies. Nimrit, good morning from London. I'm just going to get right into this. What are your expectations when it comes to earnings for both Alphabet and Microsoft? Do you believe there's anything from the Meta earnings that we can see as a read into their earnings?
Well, it's definitely going to be a very interesting day for earnings after Meta's disappointing outlook. One of the things that we're watching, and it's going to be a little bit different for Microsoft versus Google. Microsoft, we've continued to see them power ahead with 30% growth in Azure. So there the issue is, can they continue the same momentum? They've seen a big pull through from AI come through in their cloud, where they're continuing to build on the AI stack of applications, you know, the GitHub Copilot, 365 Copilot, more and more of those. And last quarter, we almost saw 6% contribution from AI applications. So Microsoft, it's more about, can they continue with these high comps? And you know, they've guided to the spend that they've been investing in AI, and it's not going to be the AI spend is going to be very linear, increased ramp up in CapEx. Yeah. Spend, but you know, the question is, can the revenue keep up with that? So less read through
okay,
from Meta.
Remember, if you don't mind me jumping in, we had a guest here in Europe, Cyrus Mayawal, who's often a guest on Worldwide Exchange. He basically said that to be a leader in AI, you have to also be a leader when it comes to the hyperscaler business. Microsoft and Google are both expected to show really strong growth when it comes to their cloud business. In your mind, how important is that growth to the narrative of these companies going forward? Because we saw Meta have, you know, great results. EPS doubled, more than doubled year over year. But it was the guidance and the investments in AI. Are cloud results for Alphabet and for Microsoft, are they as important as they were before, the growth there?
Absolutely, they're extremely important. I think the difference is for Microsoft, AI is an enabler. And for Google as well, their cloud business here has a chance if their cloud business can pick up growth and show growth from AI, especially all the contributions they've made with their own GPU here. So definitely the cloud growth is extremely important here.
Okay, let's talk about ad spending for a minute. Not as sexy as the cloud or AI, but Meta actually posted a miss when it came to their ad revenue. They were actually 6% below estimates. Ad revenue, it's a big part of the business for both Alphabet, and it's a growing part of the business for Microsoft. Should investors be concerned about right now the digital ad spending market and the outlook?
It's a bigger issue for Google, for Alphabet, you know, because this is their core franchise. This is their core business. So what happens, you know, can they continue? They're comping a low comp from last year. So we're expecting 12, 13% growth in their ad spending, in their ad business. Can we see that? That would at least give some comfort to investors that their search business is not getting completely disrupted by AI. You know, Meta also pointed to some slowdowns coming from China. So that's something to watch as well. But we would expect Alphabet at least to keep pace with what Meta posted here as well.
One other thing I want to bounce off of you. So if you look since April 16th, that's when Jay Powell said that rates are going to stay higher as long as needed. The Magnificent Seven, they've actually underperformed the broader market. There was kind of a thought, I want to say it's a consensus, but maybe it wasn't, that these stocks are a bit more immune to rate pressure than the rest of the market, but still we're seeing a deeper decline from them. What do you make of that?
Well, they're both the tech stocks, especially when we talk about Microsoft and Google, have excellent balance sheets, right? So we're not really worried about interest costs rising for these companies and pressuring their profitability in any way. So that itself is not an issue. The issue is really on the multiple. Here, I think Microsoft probably a little bit more, just based on the multiple that Microsoft is trading at, 35 times PE. That's a little bit more on the sensitivity from rates, less so for Google. Google is a Alphabet is a story related to what's going on their own business and related to the disruption in the search business.
All right. Nimrod Kang, always great to see you. Thank you very much for your time. The preview of both Microsoft and Alphabet earnings coming up after the bell today. All right,
Thank you.
Up here in Worldwide Exchange, Micron getting the nod from the Biden administration, set to receive billions in funding from the CHIPS Act, details on how much and where that money will be put to use. But first, some of this morning's, more of them, I should say, big money movers. We're starting off with Ford moving higher as strength in its commercial unit offset EV losses. The automaker also lowering its CapEx estimates and raising its adjusted free cash flow outlook. Whirlpool, also in the green, the company known for its KitchenAid and Maytag brands, is increasing prices by 5% in North America due to sticky inflation, also cutting 1,000 jobs to expand profit margins. Shares are still down 20% in the last year and more than 30% off their 52-week high. And Align Technology shares, they're up as well. The orthodontics company beating first quarter estimates and growing revenue by almost 6%, thanks in part to strength in the Asia-Pacific region. Those shares up almost 5% right now. We'll have much more after the break. Stay with us. All right, welcome back. We're turning back to a news alert out of Washington. You saw first right here on Worldwide Exchange, the Biden administration announcing this morning Micron will become the latest recipient of funding from the CHIPS and Science Act. Megan Casella joins us now with the details. Megan, good morning.
Hey, good morning, Frank. So that's right. President Biden is headed up to Syracuse, New York later today to announce the latest CHIPS award is headed, as you said, to Micron. The company is set to receive $6.1 billion in direct grants from the Commerce Department and up to $7.5 billion in loans. That money is going to help them build out a manufacturing facility in Boise, Idaho, and build what they're calling a mega fab in upstate New York. The focus is going to be on production of memory chips. And in exchange, Micron is also committing to invest $125 billion in the two sites over the next 20 years. Officials estimate that both that public and private funding should directly create some 20,000 jobs in construction and manufacturing and will indirectly support another 50,000 jobs along the supply chain. Now, as part of this announcement, the Biden administration will also be announcing new workforce hubs in upstate New York to meet the training needs in semiconductor manufacturing specifically. They're also going to be announcing hubs across the country dedicated to infrastructure and the EV supply chain, so places where we need more workers. Now, Micron's award is the seventh CHIPS Act award being announced, and Commerce has just about $6 billion left to dole out from that original $39 billion pot of money. The most recent announcements have all been big awards for big companies, but with that amount of money really starting to dwindle, we're expecting the next wave of grants to be smaller in size and maybe going to smaller suppliers along the supply chain. Commerce Secretary Gina Raimondo told CNBC that the focus from here is going to be focused on things like wafers and chemicals, so all of those input products that we need to build up chip manufacturing in the U.S. Frank?
So, Megan, again, announcement that Micron will be the latest recipients of CHIPS Act funding, $6.1 billion. I want to ask you, how will this investment help fuel the growth of AI tech here in the U.S.? Or there in the U.S., I should say. Sorry.
Absolutely. So this announcement is going to be focused on memory chips, and a lot of it's actually going to be specific to high bandwidth memory chips. Now, these are really crucial in training AI systems and large language models. The more that we can build out memory for those systems, that means that those models can remember more of what a user wanted and become more sophisticated. So they're going to be designing and producing those in the Boise plant and really producing them in a major way, manufacturing them in a major way in Syracuse. So officials say this is really a crucial step in order to bring a lot of that AI development to the U.S.
You know, Megan, our data team, they've been kind of crunching the numbers. The CHIPS Act funding, it's just about run out. Is there any talk about the administration launching a second CHIPS Act program to support their investments so far?
There's a lot of talk about that. We hear some CHIPS 2 terminology being thrown around. You know, it's a difficult thing that we're going to have to get Congress to sign on board to something. How can you allocate more money when we haven't quite proven that the first pot has been successful yet? But that's the argument that we're hearing some folks start to make. I've even heard the term irresponsible thrown around if we don't do more. Because the risk and the concern is that if we just dole this money out, but we don't do much to really shore up those investments, then maybe they're not going to become sustainable. Maybe we're not doing enough. If it's just a drop in the bucket, then we're not doing enough to really bring semiconductor manufacturing back here in a major way. It's going to be a big fight, but that's the argument we're hearing.
All right, Megan Casella with the latest on the CHIPS Act. Megan, always great to see you from D.C. Thank you very much. All right, coming up here on Worldwide Exchange, much more on the big stock story of the morning. Of course, that's Meta. A number of firms cutting their outlooks and new calls this morning. And if you haven't already, follow our podcast. If you miss Worldwide Exchange, check us out on Apple, Spotify, or other podcast apps. Much more Worldwide Exchange coming up right after this. All right, welcome back to Worldwide Exchange. Time now for your morning call sheet. We have more on the stock story of the morning. Of course, that's Meta. We're seeing a number of firms cutting their price targets pretty significantly on the back of earnings. We're going to start off with Goldman Sachs, lowering its price target from $5.55 to $500 per share. JP Morgan lowering its price target from $5.35 down to $4.80, and Bernstein cutting from $5.90 down to $5.65. We also have Stifel cutting its price target from $5.88 down to $550. Again, Meta shares down almost 13% right now. Bernstein also initiating coverage of General Motors with an outperform rating and a $55 price target. Bernstein saying it's encouraged by stronger cash flows and the automaker's performance this year that's pushed the stock higher. General Motors shares up 0.25%. And KeyBank upgrading its rating on Sherwin-Williams to overweight. It says now's the time to take advantage of a pullback in shares. It says investors should focus on the company's volume recovery. Right now, shares of Sherwin-Williams up almost 0.5%. It is also time for your global briefing. We start in Japan with the yen hitting a 34-year low against the dollar today. The greenback breaking above the 155 yen level yesterday for the first time since 1990. That's fueling more speculation the government could move to shore up the currency while the Bank of Japan is holding its two-day policy meeting, which wraps up tomorrow. That would mark the first intervention by the BOJ since 2022. Shares of Anglo American are surging in London as rival BHP makes a nearly $39 billion offer for the company. A deal would create the world's biggest copper miner with about 10% of global output. It would also give BHP more access to potash and coking coal in Australia. You can see shares of Anglo American up over 11%, BHP falling just over 3%. And several big European companies are reporting earnings today. That includes Deutsche Bank posting its highest quarterly profit in 11 years. As its investment bank, it outperforms. We're also looking at Nestle. First quarter sales missing estimates as it hiked prices and sold fewer products. AstraZeneca smashing first quarter forecasts, boosted by demand for its blockbuster drugs. And STMicro cutting its sales guidance for the year after first quarter revenue missed estimates on slower demand for chips from the auto industry. All right, coming up here in Worldwide Exchange, we have the one word that every investor needs to know today. Also, a tough trading day taking shape with tech set to take it on the chin once again. We dig into whether the Mag 7 trade may be fading away. We'll be right back after this break. All right, welcome back to Worldwide Exchange. It's time now for your WEX wrap-up. We start with IBM on track for its worst day since October of 2021 after missing revenue expectations for the third time in the last five quarters. The company also announcing it's buying cloud software maker HashiCorp for more than $6 billion. Shares down just about 8.5%. Apple losing its title as China's biggest smartphone seller in the first quarter as shipments fell over 6%. The Chinese phone makers Honor and Huawei tied for the top spot. Apple shares actually fractionally higher right now. Microsoft-backed data management company Rubrik pricing its IPO at $32 per share. That's actually above the expected range. It's set to begin trading at the New York Stock Exchange today under the symbol RBRK. Walgreens says it will start working directly with drug makers to bring cell and gene therapies to the U.S. The new business will join its specialty pharmacy segment, including subsidiary Alliance Rx. And Ryan Gosling proving being just Ken is Knuff, brings SNL its biggest Peacock audience ever with nearly 9 million streaming viewers. That is SNL's best seven-day viewership since December of 2021. That was when Billie Eilish hosted. That was actually kind of funny. And may the fourth be with you, even in the dairy aisle, in celebration of National Star Wars Day Saturday. True Moo and Kemp's dairy brands are launching limited edition blue milk, marking the first time fans can sample the movie's notorious drink outside of Disney World. A little something for the young Padawans out there. It's actually next Saturday, not this Saturday. But may the 4th be with you. All right, here's what to watch today. This morning, we get initial jobless claims, Q1 GDP figures, as well as pending home sales numbers. Also, the earnings parade just rolls on with results from Alphabet, Microsoft, Intel, Caterpillar, American Airlines, Harley-Davidson, Northrop Grumman, and our parent company of Comcast. Also, the Bank of Japan kicks off its two-day policy meeting today. All right, stocks are set to face some fresh pressure at the open as investors get ready for that busy day of earnings. Take a look at futures right now. As we mentioned all morning long, they are in the red. Looks like the Dow is actually hitting its low of the morning, looking like it would open up about almost 150 points lower at the open. NASDAQ futures, they're being dragged down by the stock of the morning. Of course, that's Meta getting hit on the back of its results, showing a revenue guidance miss and a lot of concerns around the growth of AI-driven expenses. CEO Mark Zuckerberg telling analysts on the call last night he's not concerned with monetization when it comes to new projects at Meta. Meta set to wipe out about $200 billion in market value at the open. Let's bring in Jenny Harrington, CEO of Gilman Hill Asset Management and a CNBC contributor. Jenny, good morning. I think we got to start with the big stock story of the morning, Meta. What do you think about the results, Mark Zuckerberg's comments that actually brought the stock lower, and just that whole Mag 7 trade?
I think we're kind of seeing reconciliation, reckoning, rotation, whatever you want to call it, but the numbers were fantastic, right? The problem is the story, which is Mark getting real and saying we're going to need to spend. And what I've been wondering about is, you know, the last quarter, everyone was talking about how many times AI was mentioned. I felt like I'm being, you know, exaggerating here, but the more time a company was able to mention AI in their quarterly conference call, the more the stock went up. I'm wondering if this quarter, what we're going to see more of between Meta today and then what reports next is, are investors already asking, okay, AI is coming. Show me the money. Where is that actually coming from? And in the case of Facebook, Meta, even though the numbers of the past quarter were incredible, they're saying, look, in the future, it's going to take a lot of spend. So that's not the money investors want to see when they're paying those premium valuations. You know, we own this. We've trimmed it along the way, and I'm really glad we did.
All right, you were just alluding to your WEX word of the day. It's rotate. So you're doing some rotation of your own in your portfolios.
Oh, no, sorry. We're not rotating our portfolios. What we're seeing is rotation in our portfolios. So for example, in our disciplined growth portfolio, right, we have Meta down 12% pre-market. We also have Teradyne and United Rentals. So you have a company like Teradyne that's down 7% year to date, trading at about 20 times next year's earnings. Guess what? As of last night, that was looking like they reported perfectly great earnings. And guess what? That looks like it's going to be up 8% today. United Rentals, great company, but out of the spotlight, not the way Meta is. That's looking up another, I think, 6 or 7% today, at least as of last night. That's what the pre-market was looking like. So I'm seeing rotation within the portfolios. Then equally interesting, in our equity income strategy, the dividend strategy, where we see IBM looking down 8% because, and by the way, I'm really annoyed with everybody picking on IBM because they're like, oh, revenues. Like, okay, let's focus on the fact that they actually beat on earnings and those are great. And they came in because of better margins. They actually reported $1.68 of earnings where the street was expecting $1.59. But again, they used AI a lot. So there was a lot of enthusiasm in that, maybe too much. So you see IBM down.
We're going to pivot just away from AI just for a moment, Jenny. Let's go to one of the reports coming up later today. Q1 GDP estimate 2.2%. The Q4 read was 3.4%. What do you think this possible deceleration, if it actually meets the estimates, what is that going to mean to the markets, this report? A hotter read, does that lead to a sell-off? Or has Jay Powell already basically set up the narrative that rates are going to probably stay higher for longer?
I think rates higher for longer. So anything, I think a higher read would actually be negative for the market. I think we need some cooling. We need to see some, you know, cooling in growth, something that the higher rates for so long are starting to impact and cool inflation. But Frank, I have to finish my last sentence before, which is in our portfolio, you also see Whirlpool and Western Union up today where IBM's down. That's the rotation. Sorry, we can get back to GDP. But I'm looking for a negative number. I want a negative number because I want those rate cuts this year. Or rather, less strength.
Yeah, a lot of people want those rate cuts this year. It's becoming less and less clear. We'll have to wait and see the impact of that GDP report on the market. Jenny Harrington, it is always great to see you. Thank you very much. One quick look at the futures before we let you go right now. As you mentioned, they've been in the red across the board, looking like the Dow hitting its low of the morning again, looking like it would open about 100, almost 50 points lower right now. That's going to do it for us. You've been listening to CNBC's Worldwide Exchange. You can always catch us live weekdays at 5 a.m. Eastern.
Go spread the word. When you get a fresh, hot McCrispy from McDonald's and you can feel the heat coming through the bag, don't try to wait till you get home. Always respect hot chicken. The McCrispy, only at McDonald's. Ba-da-ba-ba-ba.